Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Bridge family, worldwide. Our Acts 1:8 family, what a blessed people we are. I come and as I begin, I've got to insert something that I didn't expect. I believe God's doing something special already. We've just had a time of worship where I'm telling you, the song selection that we just lifted in praise and worship, it almost told the story of the sermon before you heard the first syllable. We just sang, Lord, we need you now. More than ever, we need you now. We sang a song that spoke about, Lord, it's your breath in our lungs. And I found myself convicted because in that song, I think it's part of the lyric of it, but the emphasis was on breath and lungs because they naturally go together. But as we were singing, I know where we're going in God's word today. I was convicted. I was putting the emphasis in the wrong place. It's true. It's his breath in our lungs. But the real emphasis should have been your and our. The only reason we have breath is because it's your breath in our lungs. We sang before that, run to the Father, run to the Father. Friends, I have a sermon today that is going to unpack those worship songs from the scriptures. And I'd like to begin by playing a little bit of a word game with you. Most of you know I like to begin most of our sermons with a question. Today's question is a bit of a word play. Playing in that, I want to ask you what you think about. When I say this following word, I want to ask you what comes to mind. So bear with me. When you hear the word fix, F-I-X, what comes to mind? Some of you might remember last week where we said, when you hear the word sin, or you look at the word sin, have you ever noticed the I that is always in the center of sin? I wonder if when you hear fix, you think of the I in the middle of fix that needs fixing. But seriously, what do you think of when I say fix? I'm going to give you at least four considerations. Last night, my wife Kim and I were blessed to be a part of a fellowship time that was given to us by a group that came from Texas up to Vermont. And one of the first things I think about with them in mind is when I hear fix, I think of fixins. We've got all the fixins you need for a wonderful fellowship and dinner. Have you ever thought about the fixins when you've heard the word fix? If you're not from down south or in the U.S., you may never have even contemplated that. How about this? I come from the streets. Many of you know my background is raw and real. I come from the streets. And when I hear fix, you know what I think? Something's rigged. That's the language we would use. It's fixed. It looks like it's an honest opportunity for everybody, not a chance. This thing's rigged. It's been fixed from the beginning. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's how you've played the game behind the scenes. It's where ugly sin lives and works. When you hear fix, have you ever thought of it being rigged or unfair? How about what is probably more natural, and that is to hear fix, you think of a repair. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be repaired. Is that the first thing that comes to mind? How about a fourth one? If something is fixed, it is secure. That thermostat is fixed to the wall. It's not falling down. Something is fixed. It's secure. Now, I don't know. You may have others, but that's at least four to start with. And I want you thinking about fix and fixing. Because today's sermon is entitled Fixing Harmony. Fixing Harmony. Now we're continuing on in our sermon series entitled No Matter What, we're looking at the letter of 1 Peter, which is written to a persecuted people. We've noted that this letter is broken down into two primary parts. The first 35 verses explain who are the blessed, beloved family of God. Who are those that are living in, or should be living in, supernatural harmony, supernatural oneness? Again, go back to the previous sermons and you'll see in John 17, Jesus cries out in prayer for our beloved family to live in supernatural, his words, not mine, perfect unity, his words, not mine, in the same way that Jesus the Son is in Jesus the Father, that level of Trinitarian quality unity, harmony. Jesus passionately prays for that for us as the true church. Peter uses the first 35 verses of the letter to set up that foundation. And then for the rest of the letter, he uses his time to now show how the blessed, beloved family of God are to biblically behave as the family of God. And today we mark the close of the first subset of that second part. Last week we noted that those that are going to behave biblically in 1 Peter, we're going to see three different ways of behaving. The first is harmonizing as the family of God. The second, which we'll begin next week, is the hurting family of God. And we'll see as we come to a close in this letter, the helping behavior that comes from the leadership in the family of God. So today, as we begin to continue our process of understanding the harmony, the holy harmony for the beloved, blessed family of God, I want to start by asking you to pray with me and pray that God will plow the soil of your heart, that his truth and love will not just be dropped as seeds into the soil of your life, but that this truth and love will take root and bear fruit to the glory of God. And I'm telling you right now, every single one of us desperately need to hear and heed this word from God for reasons that I pray will become obvious as we go through. Would you pray with me? Lord, I come to you now and I do ask on behalf of each one that hears the truth and love of your word, that you will do the work necessary by grace and your gospel to give us the opportunity to respond in faithful obedience. And Lord, those who even now I know are bristling, those that are fearing, oh no, not another one of these kinds of messages, I pray they'll confess and repent and seek your will for their lives, per your word and your way. I pray it now, Lord, first and foremost for me, as I desperately need your sanctifying work every minute of every day in my life, as do all your children. Hear us submit, Lord. Help us to surrender. Guide us as we serve and strengthen us if and when we suffer. But let no one make excuse or compromise. May we all be fixed, secured, and repaired by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, friends, today's message, if you have your Bible, and I pray that you do, I want you to come with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 12. This is the passage I thought I was going to preach last week, but last week we only focused on verse 8. Today, you're going to see the whole package together. And there's three very simple points that will unpack this passage. Do's, don'ts, and results. You're going to see harmonies do's, harmonies don'ts, and harmonies results. I'm going to simplify it even further. You could visually outline this passage with a plus, the do's, a minus sign, the don'ts, and an equal sign, the results. And you watch and see how God blesses his people, truly blesses his people, as we come to realize, here's the timeless truth, take this away. God fixes and fights for his family. God fixes and fights for his family. Let me read with you the passage, and then we'll take the balance of our time and we'll unpack it in a way that I pray feeds your soul and builds your witness, brings you back to a place of passion in and for Christ. It's God's word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, so that you may obtain a blessing. Verse 10, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. That word deceit in the original language, it means using bait or a hook to trap and manipulate. Verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Don't just seek it and pursue it. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the Lord's ears are open to their prayers. But, huge but, defining but, the face of the Lord is against. Remember Revelation 2 and 3. Remember when Jesus was speaking to the churches and he said to 5 out of 7, you think you're all that, you think you're doing good, but I have this against you. Remember that? Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus speaking to 5 out of 7 churches, I have this against you, and if you don't change it, I'm going to take away your lampstand. I'm going to snuff you out. This same God, using the same word, but his face is against those who do evil. Now, I recognize there's a lot there. I want to help you. What you just heard are some do's, some don'ts, and some results. And it's God Almighty who does the fixing and the fighting for his family. That's what you see here. Let's walk through it together, And again, I pray that this is deep and rich enough to put you in a state of awe while simultaneously being so straightforward, so true to the scriptures that you say, wow, I think a child could understand this. Do's, don'ts, results. Plus, minus, equal. Let's start with what you'll find to be the beginning of the do's. So, harmonies, do's. Verse 8, where we camped last week. So I'm not going to redo all of this, but just here. Finally, and we noted, finally, you have to deal with your sin. If you want harmony, the first place, by the grace of God, is that you must deal with your sin. And I just want to unpack that a little further than last time. What do we mean by finally dealing with your sin? You need to confess your sin. Truly, fully confess, then repent, which means not just stopping, but actually turning away from that sin, and not just turning away, but turning to, coming to, and cleaving to Christ. So finally dealing with your sin. And note, this is a vertical sin when we talk about heaven and hell. And it's a horizontal sin when we're talking about harmony and being the church family that we're meant to be. Finally, deal with your sin. Confess fully. Repent honestly and completely. Then what? Believe. Believe as Jesus has called belief to be. Believe in a way that brings obedience with it as the fruit of the root of belief. And then what? Then abide. Jesus says in John 15, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. So it's not a one and done event. It's a who we are DNA. And then what? Then repeat. Then repeat. We confess, repent, believe, obey, abide, and repeat. This is how you finally deal with sin. This is how you finally come into the very family of God, which we see then. What's number two in the do's? To submit, all of you submit. That whole first passage of the who in the family of God comes under the umbrella of all of us who submit. And not just to him, but to his authorities and those that he puts over us. It's a way of refining and filtering. So we see all of you submit. That's a quantity and a quality reference. All of you, every single one of you. All of you, not 98%, not 99%. That's the rich young ruler. All of you, all of who you are, to submit if you want to know this harmony. This is the human responsibility. Remember, it's all of grace received and applied with human responsibility. So if you want to fix harmony, it starts with your part of receiving God's love and grace, and then you're receiving it with proper application. We noted then five aspects of this receiving. And we see here in verse 8, it begins with harmonizing with the family of God in the mind of Christ. All of you be united in mind. If we look at it the way it's intended, the next piece would be what was on the fifth layer of the list, which was then all of you harmonize in humility of mind. Have a humble witness like Christ. You go up to number two, and then it's all of us have this harmony in a sympathizing like Christ, caring for others at a level that most people don't know what to do with. We use the example of Jesus weeping with those who are at the tomb of Lazarus, even though he knew that in a few minutes they were about to have the celebration of a lifetime. But he so sympathized with them in their pain that he wept with them. We saw fourth on that list in verse 8 that we are to have a compassion, a tender heart, to care to the level that others think you're crazy. Why are you getting so wrapped up in their pain? Because their pain is my pain. Because we share one family, one faith, and one focus. And we noted all of this could come together in what was third on the list, but really the thrust of the passage is that we harmonize when we live with a true, shared, brotherly love. I showed it to you this way in the chiastic arch. You could see here that I'm not telling you anything that's not here in God's Word. God's Word lays out this verse in this form of parallelism to make sure that we get it. That when we truly love one another, truly love one another in the truth of redemptive grace, this is the foundation not only for the family, but for the harmony in the family of God. It's all of grace. It's all in and through Christ. It's all about him and his gospel. Now, I showed it to you that way, but in our world, this is the way as a Bridge family I share and tell the world about it. It's our quilt. We show the world that we are one body, one quilt, made up of many different, diverse parts. And it's the red thread of the gospel that sews us together. It is the truth and love of Christ. This is the core of the harmony. Now, we've up to this point, we've talked about this harmony and finally finding it, the family's DNA. And last time we were together, we talked about finding this harmony. To understand, if you want this harmony, here's the blueprint on how to find it. Well, today we're going to talk about fixing it. And in order to fix broken harmony, you got to address not only the do's, but you got to address some of the don'ts. You want to know why it's broken? Sin. Again, the dysfunctional family is dealing with sin. The funk in dysfunctional is sin. And so if we're going to fix harmony, now recognize God has given it. That doesn't necessarily mean that you've embraced it, protected it, and are living it. The fact that God has given something in terms of its potential does not mean that all people everywhere are embracing its fullness. Sometimes harmony gets broken. How does the fixing of repairing take place? Well, I would bring you back to the do's. You've got to start with the do's. Otherwise, you don't really have harmony to fix. You may be broken, but it's not biblical harmony. It's just raw brokenness of sin. This happens all the time with false churches. Go to the church at Laodicea, right? They're lukewarm and loving it. They think they're all that, and Jesus is about to spit them out of their mouths. And if all you do is say to the people that are about to be spat out of the mouth of God, hey, you guys got to work on your cohesiveness. You're just rearranging the deck furniture on the Titanic. Oh, you can make it look like now they've got harmony, but that's not harmony. Again, that's just a sickness. You know, if you take disease plus harmony, what does that equal? Equals an epidemic. You don't want to harmonize with disease. And when disease harmonizes with disease, you just get an epidemic. So let's look at verse 9. Let's look at some of harmony's don'ts. And I just want to give you a fair warning. There's more do's coming. Verse 9. Harmony's don'ts. The minus sign. Don't. Do not. That's what we're hearing. Again, not my words. This is the word of God. Do not. Don't. Don't repay evil for evil. Do not repay reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless. This verse ought to lock you up. This is a mind blower right here. Bless. By contrast, bless. for to this you were called. It's as though God could hear us thinking as he's putting this together. Hey, I don't want to bless the ones who are doing evil to me. I don't want to bless the ones that are reviling me. For to this you were called. So let's take a look at this first. Let's look at some of the don'ts. And let me just tell you, you need biblical definitions every day, all day. And this is one of the areas where it's very important. Because a lot of people are going to hear this verse and misinterpret it. Bless does not mean be nice to them so that they like you. Bless means you bring to them what they need, not necessarily what they want. Bless means that you be Christ's ambassador in their life, whether they like it or not. Bless means that you look at the eternal and not get sucked into the black hole of the temporal. Don't repay evil for evil. No revenge mentality or methodology is acceptable for harmony. You want to fix it? Get the revenge out of your life. Get the bitterness out of your life. Get some forgiveness and stop holding on to unforgiveness. Don't repay evil for evil. No revenge mentality, no revenge methodology. Next, no compromise with evil. No compromise with evil or sin, period. Third, no rationalizing of unholy behavior. Think about that, friends. Because your mind, I know it. My mind, we do it. You begin to try to rationalize a justifiable unholiness in response to evil. Don't do it. It's essential if you want to fix the harmony that may have been broken. What else does he say? Don't repay reviling for reviling. Reviling is that speech, that talking, which is designed to dishonestly tear down, to hurt. Many would call it gossip. It's more than gossip. It's toxic. It's poisonous. So what is God telling us here? If you want to fix harmony, don't get down into the mud with the revilers. Don't trash talk the trash talkers. Stay on the high biblical ground. There can be no departure from truth and love, period. It doesn't matter how bad they are. If you want to fix harmony, you stay in the good and the gracious and the gospel-centered language and speech. And again, that doesn't mean that you don't confront. Titus 1:11, there are those who are teaching what they ought not teach for the wrong purposes, and they are destroying entire households. God's word here, they must be silenced. So do not misunderstand what I'm telling you. To bless is to be biblically God's ambassador. And notice there's a third part here in the minus. He says, by contrary. That means you and I are not to blend in with the world, the flesh, or the devil. By contrary, you're to be a contrast to what the world... Hey, you're more than justified in that. You know what? You let them have it. Or your flesh says, you know what? I've had enough. And I can do this and nobody will know. God will know. Do not give in to your flesh. And the devil and all of his minions, remember, he's been a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. Did God really say? I mean, technically, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Well, technically, and I know as soon as what comes after, it's not good. It's somebody rationalizing something. And they may be right. You may be right. But when you have to lean on, well, but technically, you're not righteous. There is a sticking point. If we want to fix harmony, we cannot blend in with the world, the flesh, or the devil. Remember, it's our Lord that said, be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Be holy. And for those of you that might struggle with some of these harmony don'ts, remember that it's God's harmony don'ts that lead to his harmony do's. And here's something I pray you'll take away and be blessed with forevermore. Every single biblical don't has a better do. Every biblical don't has a better do. Don't fall in love with the world. Fall in love with Christ. Don't give in to your flesh. Walk by faith. Don't give in to the lies of the enemy. Whether that's Satan, his minions, his demons, or his workers down here, press in and fight for truth and love no matter what. It's interesting. Now we're here in verse 9, and we've got now Harmony Do's part 2. Did you hear him? We've got more do's if you want to fix the harmony. He goes on and he says, bless. Bless the father, bless the family, and bless your foes. We saw early in 1 Peter that you and I, Christian, we can bless God. Our faithful obedience, our loving worship and witness is a blessing to God the Father. We bless the family by being the family, by being that true ambassador family that is in koinonia, supernaturally unified, saved by grace, purposed by the King, unified with a mission and a witness. We love, because if you're going to bless, remember, being a blessing is being the ambassador. You're going to love. You're going to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, and you're going to love your enemies. And again, get your definitions biblically. That does not mean that you trust. It does not mean that you cozy up to. It does not mean that you do what's needed to make everything smooth out in the playground. No, sometimes you love people by confronting them with the truth in love that they desperately need to hear. You're off the rails, man. I love you too much to let you go. I love you enough to risk you not liking me. That's how you bless, truth and love. And you abide, and you obey. It's not a one and done, it's always who you are. You say, obedience, why are you bringing that in? Because to this you were called. Christian, Christ calls you to fix harmony in part by the do's and the don'ts that include obeying. Obeying. Jesus said it in the Great Commission. Right? All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, you now go and make disciples. You baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But make no mistake, you teach them to obey everything that I commanded. You want to fix harmony? Come back to faithful obedience. Help others to come back. Do this in an abiding nature. As Jesus said, you can't do this without me. You can't do anything without me. You'll have all plastic fruit if I'm not the root, says Jesus. But let me tell you, no one and nothing will stop my family. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No one and nothing can stop the actual plans and purposes of Almighty God. And the extent to which you want harmony with him, harmony with the family of God, even harmony with a world that's hating you, you won't have a supernatural harmony, but listen, if your part is to bring the gospel to somebody who crushes your head with a rock like Stephen, then you were actually in harmony with God's purposes when they killed you for the glory of God. You say, well, I don't know if I want all that, Pastor. Well, understand it's not me you're rejecting. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the call to submit. Finally, deal with your sin and submit to the Savior, who is Lord. This is how. And then we repeat this over and over and over again. And I want to caution many of you. If you think that you alone can be isolated out of harmony, or if you think you can pull out some of the context and some of the details of God's word, God's will, and God's way, if you think you can be that 98%er Christian, you're deceiving yourself. Do not allow the devil's strategy of divide and conquer to take up residence in your heart. Don't think it as an individual who can isolate away from the church family. When you do that, you're isolating away from Christ. I know you've probably heard many, "I don't need church. I can have Jesus. Say, you know what you're doing? You're self-deceiving. Because it's Jesus who prayed for the supernatural unity. It's God's word that says, do not stop fellowshipping and being together. It's God's word that puts this harmony on the highest level of Christian witness and purpose. And again, if you think that you can pull out just some of the doctrines, some of the truths, that you can somehow say, well, that's not that big a deal. To the extent that you're saying that to God through his word, it's a big deal. It's an incredibly big deal. And it's one of the devil's greatest strategies, divide and conquer. If you've ever seen a pack of wolves or predators hit a herd, what they do is they tend to charge the herd, and they don't know which one they're going to ultimately get. They look for the ones that will get strayed off and isolated. And then the focus goes, they tend to be unhealthy. And that's why they don't keep up with or stay in that place of family and flock. As the wolves will then chase that injured, isolated prey, so it is with Satan and his minions. Don't allow the divide and conquer strategy of hell to keep you from the unite and prosper promises of heaven. Christians unite and prosper where Satan and his workers seek to divide and conquer. This is who we are, friends. You see it here. Now we're going to move into verses 10 through 12, and you're going to begin to see the results here. And again, I'm not putting this together. I'm just unpacking God's word for you. Remember what his word says. As we get now to the last part of verse 9 and then 10, 11, and 12, he says, you have been called to this so that you may obtain a blessing. Here's the purpose. Here's the results. If you'll find and then fix true biblical harmony, and remember, you can't fix what you can't find. If you can't find this because you're not in this, you can't fix this. This is where God's putting everything together. You bless even those that are working against you. You bless them so that in fulfilling your call to bless them, you will receive God's blessing. Friends, it's God who fixes and fights for his family. If you want to fix harmony, get right with God and his family. Let's unpack it. Let's unpack it together. Verse 9, for you have been called to this, be a blessing to those who you don't want to bless, so that you may obtain a blessing. Verse 10, for. Now this is another, this is a results-oriented word. He's about to unpack and explain the because. And what's not obvious here is now Peter is going to quote from Psalm 34. Peter is now going to quote from Psalm 34, which is quoting David. Again, not obvious. In order to understand Psalm 34, you need to understand 1 Samuel chapter 21. David's writing Psalm 34 from his experience that he had in 1 Samuel 21. Can you imagine what the context might be? Remember, don't lose sight of the wholeness of 1 Peter. 1 Peter is a letter written to the beloved, blessed family of God that's in the process of being persecuted because they are the beloved, blessed family of God. This is a letter of exhortation. You'll see, much like the letter of Hebrews. Hebrews 13 tells us that the letter was written as an exhortation. First Peter is going to tell us in chapter 5 that this letter too is an exhortation. It's a warning wrapped in encouragement. Don't lose sight of that. You need the context to understand the fullness of this message. Peter is now about to quote David from Psalm 34 when David was being persecuted and was about to be killed. He realized it and then he acted insane. Say, what? What is going on here? What we're seeing is another beautiful biblical portrait of the sovereign grace of God and the human responsibility of his family in all aspects of life. All aspects. If you want to be ready for what's coming, church, and it's coming, you need to be ready as the church in harmony with Christ and with his family. And it's eternally important in terms of our witness. It's temporally and culturally important because of the season that we're in. Many of you are already realizing it. Being a Christian today is not the same as what it was to be a Christian just a few decades ago. Well, those who were identified as Christian in the past were assumed to be the pillars of the society. Today, those that are the Christians are assumed to be the bigots in the community. Those that used to be revered, people used to move to town. I'm an old business guy. In the old days, if you moved into a town and you were an entrepreneur or a business person, first thing you did was get hitched up with a local church. Not because you were a Christian or you believed, but because it was good for business to be perceived as a Christian. Nowadays, people are hiding the fact that they're Christian, afraid to say they're Christian, because they know it's becoming something that carries a bullseye with it. You're targeted. You're going to be silenced. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be persecuted. Friends, we need to understand that if we want to have this promise, these blessings, we need to be who God has called us to be. Listen again. Here's verse 10, 11, and 12. It's quoting Psalm 34, remembering that it is the living God who fixes and fights for his family. For if you really are these people, he says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, whoever really wants to be this witness, who wants to be the light in this dark world, wants to be the aroma in this stinky swamp, wants to be those who are saying, thank you, Lord, I get to be your person in this place and time. Whoever desires to love life and see good days. Seeing these good days, it's a both and. It's living well as an ambassador for Christ, not easy, but well. And the good days that are promised ahead, the inheritance of heaven, the good days of eternal life. So notice what he's saying here. We're back to the do's. This 10, 11, and 12, it's unpacking and explaining, illustrating and making very clear the message of verse 8 and 9. Here it is. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him, so here's how you do it, here's another do, keep his tongue from evil. Friends, the tongue has the power to do amazing good. Go proclaim the gospel to all the world. The tongue has the opportunity to be one of the blessed and most wonderful instruments in the Christian life. Go and tell the truth in love. Go proclaim the gospel. Go explain what isn't understood. At the same time, the tongue can do some of the most horrendous damage and destruction. It can be wicked, evil, and it often is. The Word of God tells us the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. A little tiny rudder can direct the whole thing. I want you to think about your tongue. And I want you to discern others in part by their tongue. Hey, I'm just saying. I know every time that is said, something ugly's coming. Let him keep his tongue from evil. And, so additionally, let him keep his lips from speaking deceit. So here again, if you've told half-truths, they're lies. If you've intentionally, or you've been dealt with intentionally by others who are giving you bait to hook you, those that are using various forms of manipulation, don't do it. And don't accept it. I was recently talking to somebody who acknowledged in conversations with others that I think they're fishing. My sense is that in our conversation, it's not as genuine as I wished. It's not an authentic. I feel like the conversation is a fishing expedition. That's what's being spoken to right here. It's not just necessarily to bait and hook you to get you this way. Sometimes it's to bait and hook you to get you to lower your guard, your discernment, that something can be taken from you, withdrawn from the conversation to do damage elsewhere. Friends, these are not safe places. These are not consistent with the word, the will, and the ways of God. This is not what is coherent and consistent with what God would have for his family. And when you're dealing with goats and wolves, this is their native language. Jesus said this, John 8:44, speaking to those that lie and deceive, he said, "You're like your father, the devil." He's the father of lies. He's been a liar from the beginning. It's critically important that you and I understand. And again, this is David being quoted after having had God save him from treachery. And he's thanking the Lord. If you get the full context of Psalm 34, what you're going to see is that David is thanking God for his grace. Amazing grace. His miraculous mercy, his guiding hand, his fixing and fighting for his family. And all the while, human responsibility is never extracted out of the equation. It's being in awe and thanks for Almighty God's amazing grace while accepting responsibility and accountability for holy and righteous decision-making attitudes and actions taken. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. May you be known, even by your enemies, as a truth teller. Well, you know, he's got one of those silver tongues. You never know what he's going to do. Watch out, he's one of those guys. He'll be talking to you, and before you know it, your wallet's gone. You know, I ask him what time it is and I have to check my watch because you never know with that guy. You never know what he's going to do or say. You want to be known as the one that tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, no matter what. Amen. Well, you know, if you tell the truth, if you pull the curtain back there, if you turn all the lights on, it's going to get ugly. Say, well, then get ready because that's the way we walk. We walk in harmony with the King, which means we are ambassadors of his truth and love no matter what. And if it means that you're going to get called something, you're going to get labeled something, you're going to get treated in an ugly way, you might get persecuted, they might kill you, you stand on truth and love. You present truth and love. You are an ambassador of truth and love no matter what. This is what Peter is bringing to the people who are about to be persecuted and stretched and tested. Verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. It's not enough to say, hey, I'm going to be like Switzerland. I'm just going to pull away. I'm going to be neutral. I'm not getting involved. No, you have an obligation and a responsibility, Christian, to do good. You are an ambassador for Christ. Where you are, he is. What he would do, you are to do. This is why it's so important that you know the word, the will, and the ways of God. You understand the guiding principles. You know how to weave in the difficult particulars because you are his. And you're not devoted to how it looks or feels. You're devoted to his glory through the championing of his grace, his truth, his love. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Oh, this is rich. You as a Christian, church, you're to seek peace. You're to seek that which is in harmony with God, his word, his will, his ways. You're to seek peace with others to the extent that it is possible for you to stay in harmony with God. You are to seek harmony with others. Here he says you are to seek peace. You want to fix the harmony? Get back to seeking peace instead of your self-righteous opinions. You're wanting to be justified. You're wanting, again, the me, I problem of sin. Seek biblical peace. Shalom. Perfect peace. Peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them to stumble. Psalm 119, 165 is a verse to live by. Seek peace. But notice here, he doesn't stop. And it's a conjunction. You're to do something in addition to seeking peace. You don't just seek it, you pursue it with vigor. You exert energy. You have a priority. You have a passion for biblical peace. Harmony with God, harmony in his family, harmony with his message, harmony with his methods, harmony with his local, harmony with his regional, harmony with his global. Harmony in peace. You are to pursue it. How hard are we working for biblical shalom, oneness, holy humility with God and his purposes and his people? This is how we fix. Listen to verse 12. You'd think at this point that we're done. Verse 12 is one of the most beautiful, most powerful, pregnant verses. Listen. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. If you're truly his, if you're in harmony with him, you're the family of God, his eyes are on you. What the Bible is saying here, what God is telling us is you're never ever alone. Right? Again, it's the end of the Great Commission, Matthew's last verse, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with his family. His eyes are on us. He's watching over us. We saw it in the beginning of 1 Peter. He's protecting his people. You are saved because he caused you to be born again. And he's protecting his people. Now, does that mean that you have easy street ahead of you? No. You're going to have a hard time. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tumble. You're going to be persecuted. Some of us are going to be killed. And he's protecting you every second of the way. Because that definition is that you have a holy harmony waiting for you in your inheritance in heaven that will never change. No one can take away. You've got to have this biblical understanding and definition. Too many people are trying to fix harmony that is nothing more than getting along with other sinners in the midst of their brokenness and sin. This is what he says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." God hears your prayers, church. That when you are living in harmony with him, you want to get your harmony fixed. You want to find it. You want to get right with the Lord, because when you do, he's hearing you. He hears the cries of his children, the fervent prayers of righteous believers avails much. God responds to his family. Again, Almighty God fixes, he repairs and secures his family, all the while fighting for us as well. Listen to this. But, last line in verse 12, but, for God's eyes and ears are with his family. But, this is a but that should scare people to death. Scare the hell out of some, I hope. Literally. But the face of the Lord, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Friends, this is for you and me to know that you don't go seeking revenge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You don't go trying to make sure that somehow things get worked out and they get even. That's all up to the Lord. You and me, we're to live fixed, fixed in harmony, repaired by the gospel and secured by the gospel. We are fixed by grace, in grace, and for the glory of our God, knowing that his face is against. I don't know if you've ever had a memory where perhaps it was your parent or a boss or somebody in authority looked at you and you knew, uh-oh, this is not good. Wrath is coming. This is the message here. God is telling his people, you stay in harmony with me. If you've gone off the rails, confess, repent, believe, obey, abide, and repeat, and I will restore you. And for those who are going against, fighting against, don't you fear them. Don't you fear the outcome. I've got this. My face is against them. I am a holy and just God, and in the end, those who do not receive the saving work of my gospel will pay the penalty for their sin. All that is wrong will be made right. Now, what we have here is not just a promise of protection, not just a promise of blessing, but we have the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of this in and through him, all of this eternal, all of this to recognize that no matter who you're up against, no matter what you're dealing with, and I'll tell you right now, I'm knee deep in some unbelievable stuff. I'm neck deep in the swamp, but some of this is like top 10 ever trials and challenges. Dealing with wolves at levels I've not dealt with in the past. Know this, that in part the tongue of the reviler reveals their heart. The tongue of the reviler will reveal their heart. There have been people in these places where I've watched God cause them to stumble. They say too much. It gives a peek into what's going on inside. Friends, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord in these things. I say to you before I pray and close, as the church, local, regional, and global, as the church, be at peace. Be at rest. Be in koinonia, knowing that Almighty God brings all the fixins that are needed to repair and secure the hearts of his family. He brings all the fixins needed to repair, secure, and defend his family, even in the unfair fights, even when it looks like it's been rigged. Nobody, nobody gets over on the sovereign God of the Bible. His name is Jesus. And if you want to know and fix harmony, come to this biblical place of the do's, the don'ts, and the guaranteed results that our Lord has laid out. He died to empower. He literally rose again so that you would know this is not just a promise, this is a guarantee. The war is finished. Now let's go fight the battles in harmony. Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice will put first things first. Recognize that this is your battle and that you never let us go. Help each one that needs fixing to confess, repent, believe, obey, abide, and repeat, I pray. And let us be a walking warning, a walking worship, a walking witness to your glory, your grace, and your gospel. No more, no less, no matter what, I pray. All in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
All the things that I've held dear, the vanities that whispered in my ear, what would I do if they all disappeared? Riches and fame and all that they could buy, I've come to find they never satisfy. What would I gain if my soul's a prize? I don't wanna love what the world loves, I don't wanna chase what the world does. I only want you, I only want you. First things first, I seek your will, not my own. Surrender all my wants to you. Keep the first thing first, to live your truth, walk your ways, set my eyes. Lord, I fix my face on. Your kingdom's all I wanna see. I don't wanna love what the world loves. No, I don't wanna chase what the world does. I only want you. I only want you. First things first, I seek your will, not my own. First thing first, to live your dream.
all my desires reverse to keep the first thing first. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory.
This broken world is breaking me down. to the ground. When my questions make me doubt you more than ever, you remind me that your answer's always never. Never forgotten, never forsaken, never.
Every single time I look back, I see.